John Walden here. Please join us in our study in the book of Jude. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and therefore I make no apology for sticking strictly with the Scriptures themselves. And we're taking this verse by verse. We're trying to learn what God has for us in this wonderful little book of only 25 verses. It has been called the preface to the book of the Revelation, and I believe that the events of the Revelation are right at hand. I believe the coming of the Lord is very near, and therefore I believe that the warnings in the book of Jude are especially suited for our day. Now we got as far as verse 3, where he said that he wanted to write to them about their common salvation. But he said, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." This is one of the marks of inspiration. He wanted to write about our common salvation, a lovely subject, a subject we all enjoy. But he was constrained. It was needful for him to write, to ask them, to exhort them, to stir them up, to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, I believe that the Bible is given by inspiration of God. This statement is made in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You all know John 3:16. You ought to learn 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, all Scripture is God-breathed. God put His own thoughts into it, just as I put my thoughts into my words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. All that you need is in the Word of God, and all that is in the Word of God is the Word of God. I don't believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I'm like the old-fashioned fellow down in the mountains. He said, "I believe the Bible from kiver to kiver, from cover to cover. And I even believe the kivers," he said. "It says Holy Bible." And I join right with him. I believe the Word of God. I've gone to the trouble to study it in the languages in which it was written, because I wanted to know for sure. There was a time when I was a skeptic. There was a time when I didn't know whether I could believe the Bible, whether I could trust it or not. But I have no such qualms or questions anymore. They've been answered for me. I am sure that this is God's Word. It was needful for this man to write because the days in which he lived were such that the children of God had to contend for the faith. Now, when we say the faith, we mean the whole body of truth, the Word of God itself. When I talk about faith, I talk about my belief or my confidence in the Word of God or in God. But when I talk about the faith, I talk about the thing which I believe, the truth which I believe. So I have faith in the faith. The faith, then, is all of Scripture. Now, the faith has been once delivered unto the saints. Don't look for anything else. Anyone who tells you that there are new revelations, anyone who tells you that the Bible is incomplete and that we have to look for new revelations from time to time is deceiving you. The Apostle Paul plainly says that he was chosen to complete the teaching of Scripture. It's true that John wrote after Paul, but he gave no new revelations, no new truths, no new doctrine. All of the doctrines are completely set forth in the Word of God. Now, why does he tell us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith? Isn't it wrong to be contentious? He doesn't say be contentious. He says contend for it. That is, stand for it. You don't have to be argumentative. You don't have to be fussy. You don't have to be always looking for a scrap. But you do need to stand for something. It's about time that God's children stood up to be counted. It's about time that all of us who believe the Bible say so. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Do you believe God's word? Has it been delivered unto you? Are you one of the saints? That's what we're called in verse 3. You don't have to die to get to be a saint. All of God's children are saints. We are His saints by calling. That means His separated ones, separated to the Lord. And the truth of the Word of God has been delivered to us. It hasn't been given to the world. It's our responsibility to share it with our fellow men. It's our responsibility to preach it. It's our responsibility to tell them the gospel. But we are the custodians of the faith. We believers are the stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are responsible, then, to teach others the things that we have. Now, why does he send this warning? Well, verse 4 says, there are certain men crept in unawares. The Revised Version says, certain men have wormed their way in among you. Now, when Paul called the elders together from Ephesus to meet him in the 20th of Acts, he said, I know this, verse 29, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, twisted things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch. Some people think that because a man is a minister, or because a book is a religious book, that it's good, or that he is good, that he is trustworthy. This is not true. The Word of God plainly warns us against false prophets, false apostles, false brethren, and there are many who have professions of being the children of God and the servants of God who are not his at all. In fact, this is what's keeping some people away from church. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you say, I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. Well, let me tell you this. They counterfeit money, but they don't counterfeit scraps of brown paper because they're not worth counterfeiting. There are counterfeit Christians. We'll acknowledge that. But it's because they're worth counterfeiting. It's because there are genuine Christians, and you know it. You know that there are some who are real. And what you ought to do, instead of trying to hide behind a hypocrite, you've got to be smaller than he is if you hide there. Instead of that, what you ought to do is to acknowledge your own need of a Savior and accept Christ and then be real. Don't be one of these hypocrites. Now, there are certain men crept in unawares. And these men we're going to learn about in the book of Jude. We're going to learn about some in the Old Testament days. We're going to learn about whole groups of people who were what we call apostates. Now, the word apostate means one who turns away. Apostasy is a giving up of the truth of God. Now, this is not a true believer. A true believer never becomes an apostate. A true believer may get away from the Lord, and the Lord will have to chastise him and bring him back to himself. But an apostate is a person who said he was a believer, who professed to believe the Bible, and then gave it up. And there are plenty of them in the world today. Our colleges are filled with young men and women who went there saying they were Christians. And they now say, I no longer believe the Bible. I don't even know if there is a God. Much of this has been the result of the teaching that they've gotten in school. But a great deal of it has come simply because they had no foundation. They did not have any root of life within them. They were not born again. And therefore, it was easy to turn away. Now, these certain men, which he says have crept in unawares, were before of old ordained to this condemnation. That doesn't mean that God chose them to be lost. Nobody is born to be saved or born to be damned. But it simply means that God ordered that anyone who takes this turn will be condemned. That's all it means. And let me tell you, if you turn away from the Word of God, if you reject the Scriptures, if you say, I don't want Christ and I don't believe in Him, then you too will be condemned, because He says, he that believeth not shall be damned. There isn't any choice. I mean, you have your choice of Christ or of condemnation. If you reject Christ, you have no other choice. There is nothing else left for you. There is no alternative. To reject Christ is to be condemned. Now, he calls them ungodly men in verse 4. The word ungodly doesn't mean that they were living licentious lives particularly, although in this case they were turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or lustfulness. But the word ungodly itself, which is mentioned 6 times in this little letter, really means godless. It means those who have left God out of their lives. Am I talking to somebody who is just not taking God into account at all? You're just living as though there were no God. Oh, you say, I'm not an atheist. Well, you may not be, but you may be a practical atheist. You may be acting as though you didn't believe there was a God. You're giving him no right, no control over your life. You have not accepted his verdict about your being a sinner and being lost, and you have not accepted his offer of salvation through the Lord Jesus. And so these people turn the grace of our God, notice it's not their God, but our God. We who are believers can claim him for our God, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That is, they were saying, well, if salvation is by grace, then you can do as you please. No real Christian ever says that. We are saved eternally, but we certainly do not believe that we can do as we please, and we do not believe that a real Christian will live this way. This is a proof he's not a Christian. And not only that, but they are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord Jesus Christ, and this title is used three times in our epistle, Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. Jesus means he is Savior. Christ means that he is the one who has been sent to do the work that the Father gave him to do. Have you trusted our Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, are you willing to stand up for him? Lord, bless thy word to us. There's so much in it. Help us to grasp some of it. Save the lost, we pray thee. And lead thy dear children on for thyself. Help us to earnestly contend for the faith which thou hast delivered unto us, to appreciate it, to believe it, to disseminate it. In Jesus' name, amen.